Some of us are big fans. Can you think of a specific episode that you just cannot forget? If you've seen the show, you probably have, whether it's the old version with Kirk and Spock, or Star Trek The Next Generation, or one of the following series in the franchise. For me, there are several. And to be fair, I have seen every episode of Star Trek. I was born in 1985. Star Trek The Next Generation, the television series, began its seventh season run in 1987 and culminated in 1994. After that, it was in syndication. Reruns. You don't know what reruns are, Jesse. That's where they play the same episodes over and over again on TV, and that's the only way you got to watch the episodes again, because you didn't get to go to the internet to watch the old episode. I digress. So, my childhood mentors included such virtuous and optimistic figures as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Geordi LaForge, Deanna Troi, and of course, Data. Later, I looked up to Captain Catherine Janeway as she commanded her crew through the formidable Delta Quadrant in Star Trek Voyager. If you are not a nerd, then here is a quick crash course. Star Trek is set in space, mostly aboard huge starships, during mostly the 23rd and 24th centuries. Starfleet is the name of the organization responsible for these ships. It is a uniformed service responsible for deep space exploration, science, research, defense, peacemaking, and diplomacy. Humans and other sentient species work together on a fleet of starships and base their operations on a utopian Earth. By the time Starfleet and the United Federation of Planets comes into existence or are established, Earth has eradicated war, racism, sexism, disease, and economic inequality. But in one of the most famous, and to me the most memorable, episodes of Star Trek ever aired, the question of belonging arises that is yet to be answered, even by this very enlightened society. The question is about whether or not a certain crew member truly belongs. I bet some of you could name the title which I'm referring. In season 2 of Star Trek The Next Generation, an episode called The Measure of a Man is the episode that I'm talking about. In this episode, a visiting science officer, his name is Maddox, comes aboard the Enterprise. That's the Enterprise D of the 24th century, not the Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock Enterprise, sorry. A visiting science officer named Maddox comes aboard the Enterprise with a transfer order for Lieutenant Commander Data to another ship. Data is the beloved android on the crew. He is delightfully quirky and lovably innocent, but at times a little blunt. Of course, the Enterprise crew is aghast. When they hear that Data is to be taken away with the intention that he'll be dismantled and studied so that his technology could be used, that was used to build him, could be replicated. I should clarify, because Data is an android. He has a positronic brain, and his body is entirely synthetic. He is not flesh and blood. Now, to look at Data and talk with him, he looks like a human person. His eyes are a little yellowish, his mannerisms are a bit stilted and odd, but he works on the Enterprise just like any other crew member and has risen through the ranks of Starfleet. But now it seems he's going to be taken away and taken apart, just like any other high-tech computerized crew. See, even in a reality where war, racism, sexism, disease, and economic inequality have been virtually erased, data still faces the question, do you belong? Do you get to live like the rest of us and be among us as an equal? The question of whether an android can choose their own fate because they are a sentient being has never come up, because Data is the only android to their knowledge at that time. A few weeks ago, Lewis told us that the most profound truth is that we all belong. The most profound truth is that we all belong. That is important. But what does it mean to truly belong? I want to suggest that meaning truly, well, true belonging means more than just being welcome in church. Or welcome among the body of believers, whether here in East County or somewhere else. I wonder whether it might be something more. In fact, I want to suggest that true belonging, to have true belonging, to truly belong, you will enter into a new reality. Okay, I know that sounds really weird. Kind of sci-fi themed today, but stick with me. Stick with me, because Jesus really taught us about living in an alternate version of reality. A reality where goodness, generation, and selfless love subvert self-service, greed, and the seeking of power. Sounds like an alternate reality, doesn't it? Jesus consistently spoke and lived out the reality of a new kingdom. You might call it God's alternate reality. Scripture called that alternate way of being God's kingdom. Now, God's kingdom is a phrase, in my opinion, that has been overused and misused so that we think of it like any other empire or any other kingdom. Like living under a rule, a monarch, where a hierarchy is in place and some are in and some are out, depending on who has been conquered. When we hear people say things like that, this is kingdom work, or we're growing God's kingdom, I think oftentimes they're really talking about growing organizations and donor bases and filling up megachurches. So it's an expression that has been watered down, like so much religious language. But God's kingdom was a radical phrase in its time. A radical alternative to the Roman Empire and the systems of power that were in place during Jesus' day. Everything that Jesus did in his life was at odds with the oppressive systems of power during this time, because Jesus was living out an alternative. Power people couldn't understand. Power people were actually disturbed by Jesus' way. It was subversive and did not respect the societal structure that they had built and relied upon. More than Jews expected, more than a sovereign nation, Jesus was imagining and living into a unique and sovereign way of spending much more time and energy with unpowerful people, generating goodness and wholeness, and avoiding status or wealth. And Jesus invites us to explore that new kingdom too. To explore and find belonging in the mystery that is God's alternative, and to make an alternate kingdom reality, a space of true belonging for others here on earth. In the episode, The Measure of a Man, for Commander Data, the question of whether he will have personal rights and truly belong will be decided by a Starfleet arbiter. And Captain Jean-Luc Picard will argue in defense of the idea that Data is sentient and should have bodily autonomy. Picard will begin by pointing out what Data can do within the definition of sentience. He is intelligent. He processes information and adapts to circumstances. He is obviously intelligent. He is self-aware. He can think about himself as an individual and consider questions about his own life and status. Data is obviously self-aware. But is there more? We're going to watch a little clip.
Come on, Data, what are you doing now?
I'm taking part in a legal hearing to determine my rights and status. Am I a person or property?
And what's at stake?
My right to choose. Perhaps my very life.
My rights. My status, my right to choose. My life. Well, it seems reasonably self-aware to me, Commander. I'm waiting.
This is exceedingly difficult.
Do you like Commander Data?
I don't know it well enough to like or dislike it.
But you admire him.
Oh, yes. It is an extraordinary piece
of engineering and programming. Yes, you have said that. Commander, you have devoted your life to the study of cybernetics in general.
Yes.
And Commander Data in particular.
Yes.
And now you propose to dismantle him.
So that I can learn from it and construct more.
How many more?
As many as are needed. Hundreds, thousands if necessary. There is no limit.
Single Data, and forgive me, Commander, is a curiosity. A wonder even with thousands of Datas. Isn't that becoming a race? And will we be judged by how we treat that race? Now tell me, Commander, what is Data?
I don't understand.
What is he?
A machine.
Is he? Are you sure?
Yes.
You see, he's met two of your three criteria for sentience, so what if he meets a third? Consciousness, in even the smallest degree. What is he then? I don't know. Do you? Do you? Do you? Well, that's the question you have to answer. Your Honor, the courtroom is a crucible. In it we burn away irrelevancies until we are left with a pure product, the truth, for all time. Now, sooner or later, this man, or others like him, will succeed in replicating Commander Data. And the decision you reach here today will determine how we will regard this creation of our genius. It will reveal the kind of a people we are, what he is destined to be. It will reach far beyond this courtroom and this one android. It could significantly redefine the boundaries of personal liberty and freedom, expanding them for some, savagely curtailing them for others. Be prepared to condemn him and all who come after him to servitude and slavery. Your Honor, Starfleet was founded to seek out new life. Well, there it sits. Waiting. You wanted a chance to make law? Well, here it is. Make it a good one.
Data always had belonged aboard Enterprise. We too belong by default. We've always been invited home. To a home within God. God the mystery. When John the Baptist tells two of his disciples, John and Andrew, that Jesus is the one that they've been waiting for, they start following Jesus around. And eventually Jesus asks them, "What do you want?" And they answer his question with a question. "Where do you live?" Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty uncomfy if two guys are following me around town, and when I confront them, they ask me, "Where do you live?" Okay, this is not the situation I want to find myself in. I don't think I'm the only one. But Jesus, in that moment, could have told them all about following him and how it will change them and the need to take up their cross and all of that. But instead, he simply says, "Come and see. Come and see. Where do you live, Jesus? Come and see. Come explore the mystery." Now, their question to where do you live, or their question of where do you live was probably a question of identity in Jesus' day. Where do you call home? Who are you? And Jesus then takes the opportunity to define himself by this open invitation. Come home with me. And in scripture, there are about a million images of God inviting us into God's home. The Lord is my house. The Lord is my hiding place. The Lord is my awning. The Lord is my refuge, my tent, my temple, my dwelling place, my home. The Lord is the place where I want to dwell all the days of my life. We are pretty much beaten over the head with it. The Dutch priest and theologian Henry Nouwen put it this way: God wants to be anything that will make us feel at home. She is like a bird hugging us under her wings. She is like a woman holding us in her womb. She is infinite mother, loving host, caring father, the good provider who invites us to join him. Come. Come and explore the mystery. You belong here. In the end of The Measure of a Man, the Starfleet arbiter has to make a decision. In the end, she says she does not know whether Data has a soul. And that, she thinks, may be the question that they'd all been dancing around. She says she doesn't know if she does either. But, she says, have to give him the freedom to explore that question himself. And Data is granted the right to explore that mystery. This, to me, is true belonging. To have the freedom to explore our own souls and God's heart. To know that regardless of anything else, we can come in and look around at a radical alternative way of being. That is what God's kingdom is. True belonging. And I want to take that true belonging just one step further. I want to bring others with me. When I explore my own connection to God, and I want to just take a second and say, I'm not talking about going door to door and turning it into an evangelical exercise. Because I think we all know that that just simply does not work and isn't the point. But I want to explore my own connection to God and God's mysterious alternate way of life. And when I do that, I will bring others along my journey as well. You all know I love Richard Rohr. One of the most important ideas that I've heard Father Richard teach us is that our greatest influence on others doesn't come from our arguments or our attempts to fix them. It comes from the state of our being, from a transformed consciousness rooted in love. A person living from their true self is dangerously free, because they are not attached to winning, controlling, or being right. They are simply free to act out of love and compassion, which is the most powerful influence of all. As Richard puts it, you don't need to win anymore. You just need to do what you have to do. As simplistic and naive as that might sound. Over the course of the series, Data contributes in countless ways to the well-being of the Enterprise and her crew. He saves the crew from various disasters many times. Saves the universe. Using his skills and intelligence. But perhaps most importantly, Data creates friendships and attempts to become more human. And through his own discoveries, Data brings his friends into an exploration of their own humanity. I want to create pockets of God's kingdom for the people around me. I want to be a visionary who stands on the side of justice and ensures others have the freedom to explore and expand their own souls. What if that looks like radical hospitality? Or pursuing reconciliation with someone? What if that means taking a really good look at my habits and working toward living more sustainably to take care of this creation that we have been given? In your own parish, it might look like many different things. Maybe I teach my American history students about systems of oppression throughout history so that they can recognize patterns of destruction and not allow them to happen when they are old enough to run these systems. I do not need to use inflammatory language. But I can use the true events of history to connect kids to their own empathy. Maybe I make art and poetry that heals my grieving heart so that my mind and body are not overcome with anger at current events that will turn to hate. Maybe I pray. Maybe I pray because communion with God, who came up with a better way, is the only way I can stay in contact with actual reality, the true kingdom of God. Because Jesus says, come and see. The door to mystery is open. There's no need for one definitive set of answers in human rule following. Because of that, we're all welcome to explore. Explore God and God's ultimate reality. No one human mind can stake an exclusive claim on the truth. The mystery is the welcome and the invitation to belong. The mystery is the welcome. Amen.
That was powerful and amazingly very useful.
I was like,
even though I'm a Star Wars fan.